My first guest this morning is Justin Weinstein, producer of An Honest Liar, a film in the Santa Fe Film Festival that will be shown tomorrow, Thursday, May 1, at 1 p.m. at the Jean Cocteau Cinema. I hope you'll stay tuned for my second segment. Dr. Donald Kalshed, author of an amazing new book called Trauma and the Soul, will be with us. Welcome, Justin.
Hi, Hollis. Thanks for having me.
You're in Toronto, right?
Yes, I am in Toronto. One of the things you get to do when you make a documentary film is travel the film festival circuit, which is a lot of fun, but can also be quite tiring.
I can imagine. So we're going to talk about your film, An Honest Liar, a feature documentary about the world-famous magician, escape artist, and world-renowned enemy of deception, James the Amazing Randi. Mm. And a lot of people who are listening may remember Randi, have seen him on television. He used to be on Johnny Carson all the time. I don't remember that because I'm far too young. But tell me, he's now something like 81?
He actually 85.
85 now, and still an active, vibrant person, it sounds like.
He is. It's incredible. He's one of those people who just comes live in front of an audience. He's kind of a born entertainer, but also he's a man with a mission, and he's really still traveling the world in pursuit of that mission.
Yeah, and the mission. He'd been a magician and an escape artist and all of those things, and he came to discover that there were a lot of faith healers and charlatans and quacks out there who were deceiving people by producing basically magic tricks and letting them believe that those were spiritual or mystical events. And so he kind of went on a lifelong rampage and a rant to expose them. What I want to know most is, how did you come to this story? How did you decide to do this film?
Well, that's a great question. I personally have been both a scientist and a filmmaker, and a lot of the documentary work that I've done has been kind of in the science realm. I'm personally a big believer in the importance of a population educated in critical thinking, how to basically distinguish good information from bad information. My partner in making the film, Tyler Meesom, he was brought up as a devout Mormon in Salt Lake City until he was a teenager when he started to basically lose his faith and come to believe that he had been deceived. And so basically both of us have kind of a very personal relationship with the kind of work that Randi does. And basically a friend of Tyler's mentioned the idea of doing a film on Randi to him. And then we met at a film festival and discussed it and realized that this was a really important person who's lived a really fascinating life, but nobody had done a film on him, and it just it took off from there.
And how did you convince him? Well, having seen the film, I know that he is quite the exhibitionist, you might say. Very much a stage personality. But how did you convince him that you were the right person to do this film and that you would represent who he was in an authentic way?
Yeah, so actually we weren't the first people to come along and ask to do a documentary about him. I think we approached his foundation, the James Randi Educational Foundation, and, you know, told them we wanted to do the film. And they looked at our previous films. Tyler's last film was a documentary called Sons of Perdition, which followed teenagers who were escaping from the fundamentalist Mormon church. And the last film I did as writer and editor was called Being Elmo, about the man behind the Muppet. And I think they saw that, well, these guys at least know how to put a film together that people like, and, you know, our hearts were in the right place. So they said yes. And then Randi, to his great credit, when he agreed to do the film, he said to us that he'll do it on one condition, and that is that we make the film showing him warts and all. Basically, he didn't, you know, he if there were any skeletons in the closet, they're part of the process. And I think he understood that for a documentary to really be something more than just either a publicity piece or, you know, a piece of fluff, that that the filmmakers have to have access and the subjects have to be open, and he was incredibly gracious about that, and that really served us well.
That's really interesting, because he just as likely could have demanded that it be more of an authorized biography, so to speak.
Yes, and in fact, I do believe that a lot of people who are, you know, involved with Randy and his organization and fans of his, and he has fans all over the world, basically were expecting a kind of, let's say, big advertisement, or at least, you know, maybe that's what they were expecting, because that's what a lot of biographical documentaries are. Let me put it this way. I think people will come away from our film having a great deal of respect for Randy, but also, you know, understanding that he's a real person in ways that actually I think help people feel more kind of empathy and understanding and develop a better relationship with him as a person.
Right. What was your first impression when you met him?
My first impression was that this is an 81-year-old man, I think was how old he was at the time, who is a combination of a crotchety old man and a 12-year-old boy, because he just has this constant fascination with things around him and a curiosity and playfulness and, you know, a little bit of that sense of, if something isn't right, I want to change it or question it. So he has this combination of kind of, you know, childlike playfulness and, you know, a little bit of the grumpy old man thing, but the playfulness is the bigger quality, I think.
Was it your impression from interacting with him that he is anti-religion or anti any kind of spiritual belief in his crusade to end fakery in those arenas?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because he is affiliated in many ways, or, you know, he does kind of circulate in the intellectual circles of atheism. He spoke at the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C., which, you know, is essentially, an atheist movement to keep religion out of our laws. And, you know, Richard Dawkins and a number of other people are in that movement are friends and supporters of his. And he's definitely outspoken about it, but at the same time, he's understanding of how religion can serve a purpose in people's lives. It's when things become destructive and keep people from seeing realities that I think he becomes upset. So, you know, he stays out of politics. You know, there are certain areas that I think he has decided to focus his energies in, and other areas that he feels maybe there are other people who are kind of better spokespeople for those ideas. And I think religion is an area where he certainly works in that field in terms of debunking faith healers and a lot of the kind of new age spirituality that he thinks is what he calls woo-woo.
We use that word here, too.
Yeah, it's a good word. It's definitely an area that he's involved in, but I think he's become actually more sensitive as the years have gone by in terms of, you know, not attacking people or not you know, not looking down at people for their beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Justin Weinstein. He's producer of An Honest Liar, a film in the Santa Fe Film Festival that will be shown tomorrow, May 1, at 1 p.m. at the Jean Cocteau. And we're talking about the subject of that film, The Amazing Randy. and one of the things in the press, and it's obvious in the film, is that Randy comes out as a gay man mm-hmm. at the age of 81. Did he come out because you were doing the film and it was going to be a foregone conclusion?
No, actually, he came out before we started filming. And, you know, we don't treat that in... The film deals with deception and is as much about deception as it is about Randy in many ways, because that's a big focus of his life. But we didn't want to handle his sexuality as something deceptive. And, you know, I hope it doesn't come across that way in the film. There is something else in his life that is a major deception that, mm-hmm. that is revealed in the film, but it's not the fact that he came out as gay. I think Banachek, a mentalist in the film, says it well. It's that I think, you know, Randy grew up in an age where it just wasn't done, where it was, you know, not socially acceptable to be to be out about your sexuality. And so, you know, I think for many years he felt comfortable in his circle of friends and, you know, his colleagues and the entertainment business, where it was a little bit, it was more acceptable, mm-hmm. But he didn't feel that he had to, you know, announce it publicly. I think at a certain point in his life, it became clear that society had moved forward enough in a way that he could do that and feel better about it, because, you know, his life is devoted to exposing deception, and it would be kind of, you know, hypocritical of him to maintain the secret for so long.
You know, I'm very interested by the way you treated it in the film, because there wasn't any overt discussion of sexuality. There was simply the introduction of this man that's in his life. And in the beginning of watching this part of the film, I found myself wondering, you know, well, who is this guy? Is he a companion? Is he Georgia O'Keeffe's Juan Hamilton, with the question always being, was he just the companion or was he the lover? And then it becomes clear later on that this man is actually his partner. But what was so curious to me was not the fact that Randy appears to be gay in the film, or is gay, but the difference in age between, or apparently the difference in the apparent difference in age between he and his partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the guy, the man, it's Juan Alvarez, right?
Jose Alvarez.
Jose Alvarez, yes. Is actually much younger than he is. Am I correct?
Yeah, he is. He's, I don't know the exact difference. It's at least 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's something that I think we wanted to treat it essentially for what it was, which just was a romance in essence. And I think, you know, some people do have, you know, reactions to such a difference in ages. But I think by the time you get to the end of the film, you've gotten to know them well enough, and you've gotten to see how much they care for each other. And you have learned that they've been together and loyal, loving companions for over 25 years now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think once you understand the depth of their relationship, the age difference kind of falls away, and they just become, you know, two people who care deeply for each other. At least that's how I hope it comes across, and because that's how it is in real life.
No, and I think it's a good harbinger for the way gay relationships may ultimately be depicted in film and TV, with no longer with shock and surprise, you know,
right.
But actually that the sexuality of the characters will be much less important than what is going on in their lives, you know.
Exactly.
Justin, I know you've been a documentary filmmaker. This story, though, the story of The Amazing Randy, did you ever have a moment where you wanted to fictionalize it, where you wanted to present it as fiction?
Oh, wow. Well, Yes, I had many ideas about that. And, I mean, there, when you're making a documentary about deception, and one of, and the character speaks about how the media can be deceptive and how documentaries claim to be the truth, there are a lot of ways in which, well, let's say opportunities might present themselves for, you know, for a filmmaker to play with the truth and to fictionalize in a way that, you know, is along those lines thematically. And we did play with that a little bit, but I think there's also a great, there are great opportunities in his life. These incredible episodes, like the Alpha Project, where he sends two young magicians into a science lab where they're studying psychic powers, and basically they're going undercover to try to fool the scientists, to show that scientists who believe in something will be, you know, blinded to reality, or and able to be fooled in ways that undermine the credibility of the science. And I mean, that sound might sound a little dry, but what these guys did in infiltrating these labs, or that lab, was, I mean, that's a Hollywood feature film right there.
Right.
Yeah, or the same thing with the Popov, yeah, with the faith healer investigation. I mean, it's like Ocean's 11. They go in undercover. You know, somebody is dressed as a security guard. Randy is in disguise. It's this whole detective story. And I think there is absolutely a great opportunity there to tell these stories in, you know, in a Hollywood way, and we have, there is some interest in that, and so, yeah, it's our great hope that that we can do that, or that somebody will, because they definitely deserve that treatment. I think audiences will, I mean, hopefully audiences will really enjoy them in a documentary, but I think Hollywood films definitely tend to get more eyeballs than documentaries, and I think those stories are worthy of it.
Well, and I think you're right that the central message of this documentary does have to do with the idea that we should all be critical thinkers and not accept everything that we see and hear as truth, and that having that message come through in a Hollywood feature film would be great, because you're right, it would reach more people, especially more young people, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, but I'm sorry to interrupt. I hope one of the things that one of my goals, and I hope this film at least achieves some of them, is that documentaries, a lot of people approach them as medicine or as you know, information delivery devices, but I think, you know, there are so many documentaries today have, you know, stories and creative storytelling that rivals Hollywood films. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do, and we tried to do in this film, is make it feel like a dramatic film with, you know, a narrative arc, and,
yes,
you know, engaging an audience in a way that, you know, that happens in fiction films. And I think more and more documentaries are doing that, and, you know, hopefully more and more people will be more open to, you know, to seeing documentaries.
Yeah, and I think you succeeded at that. It's a very entertaining film, you know, documentary or no. It's not what you would call an educational documentary, although it certainly does inform. Was Randy, was the amazing Randy fun to work with?
Yeah, he's. I mean, you can't take him anywhere without him, you know, pulling out a magic trick at a diner, or, you know, making some silverware bend or something disappear. Yeah, he's just a ball to be with. But, I mean, there are times, and it's, you know, we were kind of privileged to get to spend so much time with him, you know, at home in a more personal setting where, you know, he's himself. And it's kind of, you know, he's one of these people, like a lot of entertainers, I think, where, you know, they really come alive in front of an audience or in front of other people, but it's the quiet moments at home that can be, you know, real gem.
The most revealing about the character.
Yes.
I did want to mention that that Randy is still very much active. And his name is actually James Randy. Randy is his last name. He has his educational foundation that you noted, and he's appearing at the upcoming TAM convention, the amazing meeting, where the scientists and the nerds all get together in Las Vegas for 4 days and celebrate scientific skepticism.
It's great fun.
Yeah, and I noticed on the website that there's something called the Rock and Roll Bacon and Donut Party at that convention.
Yes, that's hosted by Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller. And the great thing about the amazing meeting is that, you know, Randy's friends and colleagues all come, like, you know, Bill Nye, who is in our film.
The science guy, yeah.
The science guy and Penn and Teller. I mean, Adam Savage has been there. I don't know if he's coming this year, but it's really, it's a group of people that Randy has influenced and who are also part of, you know, that line of thought. And it's, you know, a few days of really great talks and meetings and parties, some crazy parties, actually. The bacon and donut party, Penn gets up with his band, and, you know, there's a lot of hijinks that happens.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for being with me.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I've been talking to Justin Weinstein, producer of An Honest Liar, a film in the Santa Fe Film Festival. It's showing tomorrow, Thursday, May 1, at 1 p.m. at the Jean Cocteau, and I can say I highly recommend it. Stay tuned. We're going to take a break.